What's that sound? That's right. It's the sound of Ethan and Molly back on trail after a 0 day in Ashland and basically a 0 day today. God, absolute drama. Where do we begin? Ashland. Oh, God, sorry. Ashland, very nice town. Really, really nice town. Very nice city. Very progressive. Very probably left-wing. Very hippie. But in a really nice way, you know? Like, it's kind of a little bit in your face, maybe? But in, like, a kind of comfortable way. And a way that we kind of enjoyed and prefer to many of the smaller towns that we've been going through recently, which have been quite, I don't want to slag them off, but like kind of run down. At least this place, you could tell it was somewhere where like people live and work and like find pleasure and things like that. It was really good. Downtown area, awesome, really cool shops, very indie, very interesting. Cafes, super, super nice. Good bakery. A juice bar, which was nice. Lots of nice, happy people. The Shakespeare Festival. Didn't see too much of it, but there certainly was like a hype going on around the place.
Yeah.
Just good vibes everywhere. Really good night last night. We spent it with some of the people we've been crisscrossing on the trail. There's a French couple, and then two guys from England, sort of like Midlands and North, and one guy from Canada. And yeah, we just all like had a couple of drinks. Nelly then came along with her mate, Shepherd, she's been walking with. And yeah, we all just had a couple of drinks at the, what was it called? Standing Stone Brewery, that was the one. And yeah, that was really good night. And generally our 0 day was awesome. We just did nothing. Yeah, which was by and large not much, but it was like eating food. We went to like a Thai restaurant for lunch, and the night that we arrived, we did get an Indian curry takeaway, so flavor wise we're sorted. I ate way too much food yesterday as well and felt absolutely dead in the evening. Lots of good sleep, naps and stuff, you know. It was perfect. It was actually a really, really good 0. But today, whew, man, what a stressful day we've had. It started off really, really nice. So we woke up, we had until 11 o'clock to get out of the motel. We were heading to breakfast to this cafe called Morning Glory. Amazing breakfast. Met up with Tom, helped him out with a few things. And then Molly and I popped into town to do our chores, which were resupply, got me some new socks, got Molly some new shorts. Oh, what else did we do?
Literally, I'm going to list it out. We needed a fuel canister.
Yep.
We needed a darn tough exchange.
Darn tough.
Whoa.
Darn tough exchange.
We needed to do... I wanted to look for some new shorts.
Yeah.
And we needed a resupply. And then we needed to download podcasts and audiobooks from the internet.
Yeah. And we did...
Okay.
We did all of that.
Okay. How long do you reckon that would take a normal person, all right? Doesn't seem like very many chores. We left at 5 o'clock. How did it take so long to do all this? We don't know. It's just incredibly stressful. I think we get like frazzled and make it worse for ourselves, we being me.
Well,
it's very hard when you don't have transport across town.
Yeah.
So you have to walk everywhere and rely on hitches and... blah, 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 blah.
Well, let's paint the entirety of the picture, shall we? So we managed to get a lot of that done. Most of that was not stressful. Like the things I said, like the shorts and the socks and everything, not stressful. Wi-Fi in a lot of places, for some reason, is pretty bad. So that makes like downloading entertainment for the next trail section pretty difficult. And then the other thing is that, you know, we spend much of our time in wilderness, complete silence. Like, it's lovely, it's really good, but it means you're really vulnerable when you step into town and there is music and people laughing, random girls shouting and screaming in the street, just general kerfuffle, chatter, people asking you questions all the time whilst you're kind of uncomfortably holding a massive bag and like trying to squeeze into a nice little spot in a cafe. It's just like, oh yeah, no, I am doing the trail. I did, yes. Yes, I did do the Sierras. Thank you. It was good. No, no, please. Just let me sit down.
Everything's out in the open. There's no, like, hiding holes. It's,
no.
It's, like, just so overstimulating.
For sure. So, that in particular, I hope, Molly, you don't mind me saying, but that in particular, like, gets to Molly every now and then, particularly when she has a lot of stuff to do. So, trying to download the things, we're in the juice bar, trying to download our, like, podcasts and whatnot, and it was just like, okay, no, we need to get out of here. Okay, so we start leaving town, and we manage to grab a hitch to the shopping cart, which is meant to be really good for resupply, and it really was. It was really good. And we got a lift with this guy called Mike, who had a lovely dog called Argo,
yeah,
a black Labrador, and he had just, yeah, he just bought a brand new, like, kind of buggy Land Rovery kind of car that day. So he was like driving it around, and he gave us a lift to the shopping cart. We did our resupply after a little bit of stress.
Well, it was stressful. Let's be the full picture. We got a shopping cart, and then we were like, oh, we don't know how many days we're doing this for. And I'm again frazzled, and I was like, look, I'm hungry. At this point, it's like 2 o'clock. I can't do this just standing in the middle of a supermarket. I need to sit down with Wi-Fi, because I'd been struggling for ages in the juice bar for Wi-Fi. So we then go to a cafe, get some a sandwich, and finally sort out our our resupply plan. Then we go back, we do shopping. They don't quite have, they are really good.
Amazing.
But they don't quite have everything we need. So then we make a plan to go. Ethan goes to Subway. I go to Albertsons and buy the rest of the food. And Ethan calls up, so we're desperately trying to do this efficiently and fast.
Yeah,
we're
several jobs at once. And it wasn't too bad. So, in terms of the resupply, we got about pretty much 10 days worth of food in our bags now, which is a lot. It is a lot, but we had a look at the map. So, Oregon is relatively sparse with good towns to go and resupply in. There are a few lodges and such like along the trail, only a few miles off, but they are like lodges tend to just do what tourists need whilst they're staying in the lodge. So there's not, you know, it's just not a huge grocery store. So we decided to go for a big resupply so that we have enough to get ourselves to Bend, which is quite far up in Oregon, about, what was it, like 200 and something miles from here. But with like a few little holes in our resupply where we can be supplemented by these smaller stops in lodges. So we bought a whole load. And like Molly said, yeah, we were like trying to do everything super efficiently. And Mike very kindly offered to give us a lift back to the trail. So this is Gucci. We get to the gas station, we jump in his Jeep thing again, chill out with Argo, he's like brought a friend along, it's all really nice, it's so super nice. But as he's driving along, it gets to a point where we're like, hang on, does he know whereabouts we're going? Now Mar, I'll let you take over from here.
Oh dear. So we essentially wanted to get back on old Highway 99. And he was like, when we first, he was, got in, we were driving for a few minutes, he was like, so where do you want to go, Interstate 5 or Highway 99? And I was like, Highway 99. Okay, awesome, because I knew that we didn't want to go to Interstate 5.
Yeah, there's two entrances and exits.
Yeah.
Two entrances and exits
is
that
we
can
we
take.
Thought, but there's not two, there's three.
Yeah.
Right. So we're driving and driving and driving up a windy, windy hill. Meanwhile, I'm getting car sick. It's nice, but we realise at this point we've been driving for about an hour, and we only, like, to get in, it was only 15 minutes. So something's gone wrong. But kind of Mike's like, we trust Mike. Like, he knows where he's going. But I think then, oh man, I think, like, I don't want anyone to blame Mike. Mike's a good guy. He's just going to do his best. And there's just obviously been some miscommunication because we get dropped off 17 miles away further than we intended.
Yeah, so basically yeah, there was a miscommunication. And this is a thing that I think people should be kind of aware of when they are hitchhiking. We're so used to, as hikers, being within a world and a community that knows exactly what we're talking about in terms of gut hooks, miles, and certain trailheads that we pop in and out of.
It's a small world as well. So for us, we're like, oh yeah, like, we know there's two trailheads in this general vicinity, but we're talking about within 2 miles.
Yeah.
Whereas the world is much bigger. So for Mike to take us 17 miles away isn't a big deal for him.
No, but for us as hikers, missing 17 miles of the trail is pretty big. Like, yeah. we've gone wrong before by 3 miles, and that was kind of like, oh, that's annoying, but it's not too bad. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad. Well, that's fine.
But it's just a thing with hitchhiking that sometimes happens, is where, because the person, like, they're local, they know where the PCT cross is. It's just not the one we want.
They know every single crossing, and. Oh. And like when we say, oh yeah, we want to, like, yeah, the Highway 66 crossing, please, they don't think, oh, it must be that one right near where Callahan's Lodge is. They think, I don't know, they have a multitude of different crossings they can think of.
Right here, there's a Highway 99 and a Highway 66, and those numbers are incredibly similar.
Wait, which one did he drop us off at? 66?
He dropped us off at 66. Oh. We wanted 99, I think.
Oh. So it's like a double, that's a big miscommunication then.
Double miscommunication. It's like, I don't know. It's hard. And also, like,
yeah,
when someone's saying, like, oh yeah, the PCT cross is there, you are like trusting them because,
yeah, they're a local.
They're a local and you don't know where you are.
Yeah.
And anyway.
Yeah, very true. Anyway, and also the other thing, sorry, just add another aspect to it, is that we don't want to be rude. These guys are coming out of their way to lend us a hand. And, you know, if halfway through you realise that perhaps there has been a miscommunication and they're not quite taking you to where you need to get, it's really difficult to bring yourself to be like, oh, sorry, Mr. Man or Mr. Woman, who are taking out lots of time to help me and are probably, you know, getting lovely endorphins from this and just trying to be a good person. You've done it wrong. Like, you don't want to drop that on them. So you just sort of sit there and you think, oh, okay, all right, when I get out of this car, I need to sort this out. But I'll just let them drop me off where they're going to drop me off because I cannot bring myself to dump that kind of stress on their shoulders. So anyway, but they dropped us off where they dropped us off. And luckily, Nelly, good old Nelly, was being picked up by her parents because today...
Yeah.
Today is the day she's coming off trail. Sad times all round, people, really sad. But it was a huge stroke of luck that she was there. And as we got out of the car and we saw her, we were like, yep, this is wrong. And she looked at us and she was like, what are you doing getting dropped off here? Anyway, so we managed to hop in the car with them and they
drive
took us
another hour back
to Callahan's Lodge. And then at that point, basically, it was like, okay, let's get back onto the trail. But there's like an off-trail bit which takes you past Callahan's Lodge, up back into the forest and onto the ridgeline, up like a steep off-trail section, just so that you can then drop down another side of that ridgeline just to get to the road, which Callahan's Lodge is on. So we just walked along that highway, which was old Highway 99. And until we got to the crossing, and then we've just followed the crossing from then on. So that's where we are now.
You know what? It was a palaver.
It was a palaver. It was a palaver. It was stressful. And it's just so, it's so unfortunate because often leaving town is stressful and it sucks because sometimes town is amazing. It's such a good time. But then when you leave town and it's just that stressful, and that kind of, like, I don't know, complicated and confusing for people who, you know, aren't from the area, it really does put a downer on the experience. And I will always think of Ashland as a really good place, a lovely Zero, like, we had a great time, good food and everything, but I will always remember it also as the place where I just had the worst exit on the trail so far. Like, the most confusing, kind of like lucky in terms of Nelly being where she was when we got dropped off, but just what a palaver, what a complicated exit from a town. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We are now
7:30.
Yeah, now on trail. It is 7:30. And we're just walking along until we basically find somewhere to camp. Got heavy bags full of food for the next stretch, which is going to be taking us all the way up, quite far up into Oregon. To sorry?
Crater Lake.
Yep, we get to see Crater Lake. We go past, well, we're going up towards Bend, which is another big city, and the sisters, and then at the end of this little section, my parents will be joining us for a couple of days off around my birthday, so that's exciting. So it is good feelings, but we're just a bit tired from today, and I'm looking forward to finding somewhere to camp. Also, it's basically all been uphill since we got on trail. So hot and tired and sweaty, even though it's the evening. God damn trail, god damn. Okay, we are in our little camp spot. I don't know, like, probably 2 miles along the trail or something like that. We're marveling currently at this hiker PCT, like, hiker banner thing that we got from Casa de Luna.
Yeah.
If you're a PCT hiker and you go to Casa de Luna, you get these green banners, which on them have the three states, California, Oregon, and Washington, with a line going through them. But we're actually which is the train. but we're actually marvelling at it because we've just noticed all the details on it.
Yeah.
So it tells you how many miles each state consists of. So California is 1,691 miles.
0.7.
That's big. That's a big thing.
And then Oregon's 455.8. And then Washington is 504.8. And you can actually see, it's funny seeing it all together, because Oregon is definitely like a bigger state than Washington. So it doesn't really make sense that it's a shorter trail, but it is. It's more direct.
Yeah.
And then on the right-hand side, it's got a list of the mileage and every resupply point. So we could have been using this for ages. And the California section is really long list.
It's got a huge list.
And then how long... Oregon has got 9 stops possible. And then
Washington's got seven.
But
California's got probably over 20.
Loads.
I'm not even going to talk.
Wait, I'm going to count silently while you talk.
Okay. Well, we can see, so at mile 1,718.7, that is the first supply stop in Oregon, and that is Callahan's in Ashland. So that's where we walked past the other day and today. The next one is Crater Lake, Mazama Village. We're going to probably just breeze past that one. But then there's Shelter Cove Resort. That's somewhere that we're hoping to stop into for at least lunch. Maybe grab a few smaller things. That is at 1,906. And then I recognise the other names. Oh, Sisters Bend is the one after that. So then between Bend... Oh no, there's two Sisters Bends.
I think you can get off at both of those places.
Oh yeah, they're only like 20 miles apart. Big Lake Youth Camp. So yeah, I was thinking my parents might catch us around this mileage.
Yeah.
2046. Like, Olalili! Lake Resort. Before we get to Timberland Lodge. Okay. I'm well excited about that.
Yeah. You know what's really interesting is that, so when I followed people in the past doing PCT, that, and they get to Washington and they go to Snoqualmie Pass, I'm like, whoa, they're at the end.
Oh really?
But that's the second stop in Washington.
Oh, that's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
But that is pretty, that is, but quite close, like, to the end. 2,393.
But it's, yeah, exactly. And also it's the second stop in Washington, but it's, I don't know where the PCT enters Washington. Oh, it enters it here. But it's, I can't...
Where is here?
Cascade Locks.
Yeah.
Which is at mile 2,147.
Nice.
and Snoqualmie Pass is at 2,393. So the second stop in Washington is almost 150 miles away. 250 miles away.
From what, entering?
Yeah.
I don't know, what are you trying to say?
I'm saying that when you walk into Washington, you're like, okay, I got one stop and then another stop. It's 250 miles away, and that's lots.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. And then there's quite a few in, like, close proximity towards the end.
Yeah.
Bam, bam, bam. So...
Canada border. Oh.
Damn.
I think both Ethan and I have finally realised something, the same thing. Is it?
What?
So, I've always been really confused about how long the trail is. Because I always say 2,650, but then people are like, well, technically longer. I'm like, okay, like, I've heard 2,660. And I'm like, which one's real? And it's because the Canadian border is at 2,653, so 50. But Manning Park, which is the end of the trail, is at 2,661.
So, but where's the monument?
At Canada.
At the Canadian border?
Yeah.
So you get to the Canadian border and that's like, yay, we finished, yay. And then when it's like, okay, but actually technically you've got like 8 more miles to walk.
Yeah.
But then that's... So that 8 mile more is part of the PCT. It's not like, oh, you just got 8 miles.
I think so.
8 miles... So that you can hitch to
I think it's still part of the PCT, technically. Oh, okay. Maybe. I'm not sure.
So
it's a trail.
You haven't finished the PCT when you get to the Northern Terminus.
Hey.
Go on, say it.
Yeah. No. Say, I don't know. Oh, no. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the truth is. But we will, in terms of Ethan and Molly, like, and people who walk the trail... is 2,660 miles because they have to get to Manning Park.
Well, actually, technically, it's a bit more because you've got to think about getting to Kearsarge and all the other bits in the Sierras that took us off grid. I'd be well interested to see our actual, like, Garmin track and how many miles we actually do. Because, yeah, on trail, we've done whatever it is that we've done now. Actually, I want you to have a look at where we are. Please, please.
On gut hooks.
On gut hooks, yeah.
I know exactly where we are.
Go on, talk to me.
But you're not going to be pleased about it.
You come backwards.
No. We're at 1720.0.
Yeah. That's okay. So you did like 2 miles today?
Yeah.
Big day. Big day.
It was a bloody exhausting day.
It was an exhausting day. But that's okay. No, that's kind of what
I've lost a sock, guys. We've just come out of Ashland, which is like one of the very few towns that actually has stores that sell socks for through hikers.
And she's lost her own, one of and her I've own lost, gingies.
And I've gone through this. I started the trail with that sock.
You're falling apart.
It's lasted over 4 months and 1,700 miles.
And
I've lost it. I don't know where it is. I stick by that sock underneath the dryer wasn't my sock. But I think...
It's the exact colour of the one you've lost.
I know, but I looked at it and I was like, no, that's not my sock. And I feel like I would have not been so stupid.
I feel like normal life Molly wouldn't have been so stupid.
But anyway, I feel like I lost it in the bedroom. I think... It was amongst the covers, is what I think.
Yeah, it is possible. Because we didn't really make the bed when we left. We just
left.
Took a dump on the floor and left, basically, didn't we?
Well,
I did. No, I'm joking. I didn't. We're not like that. We're not those kind of people.
I know, but I've lost a sock and I'm devastated.
Yeah, it's sad.
I need those. How have I gone so long? And like, you know, I've had them hanging on the outside of my pack... Gone through bushwhacking, gone through the Sierras, gone through rivers, they've been there.
Yeah.
And now I've just lost it, just like that. Just like no care in the world, like bye. That's the only one because I've
just the cherry on the top of the day.
Because I replaced the other one, so the other ones I got in Kennedy Meadows. So they don't mean. I'm like, I don't care about those ones. These ones, my dad got them for me for Christmas.
That's sad. I know that really hits you hard in the heart, doesn't it?
Sad. Do you ever, when you lose things, do you ever picture them with having a personality and just lying there like, she's left me? Why?
Why would you say that?
I don't know, because sometimes I think that.
That would make me sad.
I remember when I lost my my dog. My toy dog. Actually, I didn't lose him, but I left him in a place in, like, Austria or something like that, like wherever we were staying. And I remember being really upset because I was picturing it in the hotel, feeling abandoned. And this wasn't recently. It was a long time ago. But yeah, so maybe your socks are doing the same thing. They're just lying there like, but we've been through so much. She wore me, like, every other day. Through snow, through desert. Yeah. I was always there protecting her feet. Her dad got me for her. And now they're just there, like, half poking out underneath the drying machine inside a laundromat. Never to be used ever again.
Yeah, just in the bin. Like my shorts, which I threw away today.
What was the thing you got really... You were getting quite upset about? Your shoes, wasn't it? The shoes that you were having to...
Don't talk about my bloody shoes.
Those poor shoes who were like... We've been with her every day throughout the Sierras.
Yeah.
We were the things that protected her feet throughout the Sierras, yeah, and she just threw us away.
And I hate my new shoes. Like, that's not true. I don't hate them. They're just not bloody half as good as those other shoes.
Lone Peak 4s, isn't it?
Yeah,
man. Lone Peak Ultras, mate. You need to make a new one. Get on it. Make a new shoe. Call it the Lone Peak 4.5 or the Lone Peak 5 and make it just like the 3.5. Please, because the 3.5s were perfect, and I don't know why you've stopped making them, because you think you've made it with the 4, but you haven't. They fall apart, friend.
They let so much dirt in.
They let dirt in, they start falling apart after like 50 miles. Don't need that.
I lost my socks.
They don't have much cushions, and Molly's lost her bloody socks, alright? So make a new shoe, please. The sun is dipping down, it's probably 9 something now. And after an exhausting 2-mile day, but no, a day that was genuinely exhausting, we are going to start heading to bed, and hopefully have a far more productive and less stressful day tomorrow. Life on the trail is bliss. On the actual trail itself, life in town is bliss, but it comes with stresses that we are no longer adapted to, which sound probably ridiculous to the town people back at home, but genuinely, music can really, like, throw us apart. So yeah, it would be nice to have a full day tomorrow just on the trail. The only thing you're having to worry about and be uncomfortable about and stress about is how sweaty and disgusting we are. I think at some point tomorrow we might be coming across somewhere called Green Spring or something like that, which is about, what, 17 miles from here? 15 miles from here?
Yeah, we got dropped off there today.
Yeah, that is where we got dropped off today initially, which was wrong. But at that place, there's like a lodge or a bar which does a free pint for PCT hikers. So if it's not too far off the trail, which I don't think it is, pretty sure it's literally just there, then holler for a dollar. Boy better know, boy go and get pint. And girl, go on and get a bite?
Yeah, if it's free.
Yeah, if it's free, she says. And
if they have socks.
I don't want a pint, I want a sock. So that would be nice. Maybe that would be like a little lunchtime or post-lunchtime little treat. But yeah, who knows what we've got in store. What's the name of the rock we're walking past tomorrow too?
Pilot's Rock.
Pilot's Rock. It's just a big rock on a hill. It sticks up. It's kind of like Castle Crags, but more round and singular. And Castle Crags was huge. And this is just kind of like, it's nice, it's on a ridge.
It's just a little knobbly rock.
You're a knobbly rock. And on that bombshell, au revoir, mon ami. And bon nuit. Thanks for joining us on this probably odd episode where I'm guessing potentially we've spliced together coming into Ashland and leaving Ashland. You've experienced the joys of us being pumped to leave, to get into town, and then you've enjoyed the kind of anticlimactic down of leaving town.
Yeah, and devastation.
The devastation. You've also been witness to what can be sometimes an extremely frustrating but probably type 2 fun complication of leaving town, i.e. being taken to the wrong place.
Pray for Molly's sock.
Yes, and please, if we could just start a fund me for giving Molly a new individual Injinji sock. Do you remember what foot it was for?
No.
Okay, well, if you're out there, if you could just send us a pair, and we'll just take the one that Molly needs.
I don't want the new socks, I want my old socks back.
Okay, well, we're going to start a fund then to find the sock that's gone missing in a laundromat.
It wasn't
in Ashland. It was, god damn it, Molly, it was right there. It was. I looked at it and I said, is that your sock? And you're like, no, I looked at it. And now, lo and behold, the exact same colour sock you have missed. So,
yeah, it might have been that sock.
I'm pretty sure it was that one. But it's cool. It's cool. Someone else may enjoy it.
I even picked it up, you know. Wow. That's why I was so sure it wasn't my sock, because I was like, oh no, I dropped a sock, and then I picked it up and I was like, this isn't my sock. But now I'm like, oh, maybe it was my sock.
We will never know.
Socks are very important to hikers.
Only the sock will know, as it's lying there like, she even picked me up, she didn't recognise me. She doesn't know me anymore. And now I'm here.
Shut up, Rick.
Dying, I'm
just trying my best.
Thread.
I'm always trying my best.
Well, you know what, Molly? So was that sock.
It did a really good job.
Did it? Yeah. Yeah.
Those were always the ones.
Actually, hang on. I'm going to bring this round to you talking about me to the shopkeep in the bloody mountain shop. The gear shop. And you were like...
You did make holes in your socks.
You were both just like, boys, what do they do to their socks? I'm so careless.
You've gone through 2 pairs of darn tufts. I've gone through 0 pairs of darn tufts.
No, I haven't. That was my first darn tuff exchange.
I thought you did in Kenty Meadows.
Nee. No, I haven't. That was my first. I got Injinjis in Kenty Meadows. I've got 2 new pairs of Injinjis in Kenty Meadows. But darn tufts, those are my first ones.
Oh, okay.
But I have, yeah, you're right. I've gone through 3 pairs of Injinjis now. But I never lost them.
I know.
All right, Molly whacking the phone out of my hand is signal that we're going now. Au revoir. Bye.